Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
This is Matt Miller filling in for Chris Wilde, and Francis Ball is with me for this important and enlightening program. Francis, welcome back from your trip to Mexico.
Thank you, Matt. It's very good to be back and be here in the studio again with you.
Francis, today's program is taken from the printed life study number 46, which is entitled The Apostles' Fellowship Concerning the Ministry to the Needy Saints. We've come to chapter 8 in our consecutive travels through the book of 2 Corinthians, and many Christians are familiar with this section because it's often used during fundraising campaigns. But we're going to see there's more going on here, aren't we, today?
There's quite a bit more here, Matt, than just fundraising. As a matter of fact, it's quite different from so-called fundraising. This has nothing to do with that kind of terminology, but this is something of God's real working in the believers.
Francis, the chapter starts out, and I'll read the first verse. It says, "Furthermore, we make known to you, brothers, the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." And it almost seems like this is a shift and an isolated portion in the Bible, because in the portion we've seen up to now, there's been talk about the ministry of reconciliation. But we're going to see in today's life study that this is not an isolated portion in the Word that shouldn't be taken in an isolated way. It follows on the coattails of Paul's word in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, focusing on the ministry of reconciliation.
I think that's very important, Matt, because this portion, as you mentioned already, sometimes is misused as a tool for raising money for preachers to do their work, or those who consider themselves doing the Lord's work. But this is not at all in that direction, and actually it has much more to do with being reconciled to God before we can participate in this grace. I think we'll see a lot about what this means in Paul's thought that's contrary to what we usually hear.
Well, let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study and just see exactly how perfectly this fits in with the context of the ministry of reconciliation.
These two chapters, 8 and 9, they deal with the ministry to the needy saints. What is here in chapters 8 and 9 is something that issues out from the thing dealt with in chapters 6 and 7. If we are going to have ministry to needy saints, we need to be reconciled to God in full. Don't think these chapters are separated. Apparently, they are on different subjects, but they are surely connected in Paul's thought. Now, by reading these verses, you could see after Paul's reconciling work, they all repented and they all received more and more salvation. The atmosphere and the condition are good to present something more to them. Furthermore, we make known to you, brothers, the grace of God. He wanted Corinthian believers to participate in the supply to the needy saints. You know, today, among the Christians, whenever there is the need of material supply, most of the Christians would form a kind of a group to raise up the fundraising, right? Fundraising. If you compare those fundraising papers with Paul's writing in these two chapters, you will see all the fundraising papers are like just so mean, so low, begging people to give money. But the apostle did the fundraising all together in a way of life, in a way in the spirit. It's absolutely different. You merely just talk about money. But I don't talk about money. I talk about the grace of God. And I talk about the grace of God in the way of life, full of the Spirit. The weight here is not gold nor silver. The weight here is the grace of God. It's life. It's Spirit.
Francis, the weight of the Apostle Paul's word here is not money, as so many preachers have the weight of their message today. But the weight here is really the grace, the Spirit, and life. But I think this is maybe a foreign language to many of our listeners that's going to need some further explanation. So why don't we take a little stop here in the program and develop this?
I think those words you used are really what is in the apostle's heart in writing this epistle. You know, these Corinthians had suffered, I would say, a little bit under a kind of spanking from the apostle. In the first epistle he wrote, 1 Corinthians, that was because there were certain faults there that needed to be under some correction for them to be able to go on in the Lord and to be reconciled to God in a full way. And this is to work them into a situation where they can really live by grace. They can live by the life. And they can live under the teaching of the apostle that brings them into a real oneness with God, reconciles them fully to God, so that what they carry out in their outward doing is not something of human effort, not something of their learning kind of a religious way to give, but it really worked into them something of the grace of God and of life and of the Spirit, so that Paul's ministry is always a ministry of Spirit and always ministering life. And it's always used by the Lord to reconcile people back to God. And this is what's happened with these Corinthian believers. Now they're in a very choice position to experience this grace.
Verse 4, Francis, let me read it here. It says that in chapter 8, with much entreaty they besought of us the grace and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. So the Corinthian believers were actually
looking for this way.
They were looking for a way to give. The apostle wasn't begging them. In a sense, they were begging him.
Right.
They were begging him to give. This is the result of the life and the spirit that had been worked into them through this experience you referred to somewhat a spanking in the first epistle to the Corinthians. That's why this is so awkward if you just make it a standalone chapter. You have to put it in the context of the first epistle and the second epistle, and it's chapter 8, which comes after 5, 6, and 7.
I think that's an important lesson to learn, don't you, Matt? That we have to learn to accept the Bible as a whole, especially letter by letter, written by the apostles. That we should not take them out of context, but see them in the whole context. Here, Paul has spent some time in chapter 6 and 7 to bring them into a position of being fully reconciled to God so that there's no problem between them and God because they accepted Paul's admonition from the first epistle, which no doubt made him very happy that he would get such a gain, just like a parent. If he has really gained his son by the discipline that he's given him, that makes him rejoice. But if he causes the boy to be so punished or so disciplined that he wants to leave home, that's a big discouragement. So I think Paul is really experiencing something here on his own besides what he's brought the Corinthian believers into. The whole church there has been brought into a new experience. And now they're wanting to know how they can exercise this motivation that they've gotten and how they should be able to carry out this kind of attitude toward other believers.
And this motivation, Paul calls grace. Mm-hmm. Grace is the motivating factor within them. So let's go on to the next portion of the Life Study Program with Witness Lee as we get into more about this grace.
On the day of Pentecost, the believers all brought their thing together. they had their things in common in Acts 2 and 4. There, all the believers put their material possessions or their wealth together in common. They lived a communal life. Even through the centuries, if you read the history, quite a number of believers here and there, now and then, they appreciated the communal life, to have things in common. But I must tell you, that kind of communal life with everything in common didn't last too long. In chapter 2 and 4 of Acts, there was the communal life right away that was spoiled in chapter 6. Then, very short time, it was ended. Then in Paul's writing, you could see that kind of communal life was over. Then, what is the proper life? The proper life, or the proper living, is not a communal thing, but it's a kind of living by grace. And this grace needs to come from four directions: from God, from Christ, from the apostles, and from the giving saints. Grace in fourfold. Have you seen the grace in these 15 verses? This is not a fundraising. This is a ministry to the needy saints. For such a ministry, there is the need of the grace from four parties.
Francis, let's stop here and talk about this fourfold grace.
The believer's grace was the issue of God's grace, which was motivating them. In the fellowship concerning the ministry of the saints, the apostle referred to the grace of four parties.
Right.
Now notice this. Number one, first of all, the grace of God, which was given to the Macedonian believers to motivate them and enable them to give with liberality, or if we said, with simplicity. The grace of the apostles, which allowed the believers to participate in the ministry to the needy saints.
That's the second
one. That's the second grace. And then also you have the grace of the believers, which was their ministering of material things to the needy ones. And that's number three. And number four, the grace of Christ. That is, he became poor that we might become rich. Certainly that is grace in verse 9. And this indicates that the believer's offering of material possessions to the Lord for any purpose should be absolutely a matter of grace, not of human maneuvering.
Thanks, Francis. I think that's what we're talking about. This is not a matter of human maneuvering.
I believe this is the real contrast between the two concepts of giving that we've been talking about today. Because this way this chapter sometimes used is like the obligation. There's an attempt to put an obligation and a guilt feeling on people about this matter of giving. But here are these Corinthian believers who have been brought into full reconciliation with God. They've been made participants and partakers of God's grace. And it's not like a mercy that's causing them to want to give, but it's something in them that really is a grace. And here it's called the grace of God and the grace of giving. And it's referred to in a number of times in these few verses, this grace. We all know grace is God's abundant supply of himself to us. But not many of us have had the realization that this matter of giving is a grace. It's something that comes out of the life and the living and the loving that's in Christ that's put into us. And by this way, we have a love for one another. We have a desire for being poured out for God's purpose on the earth and for the good of all the other believers.
Francis, I'd like to turn over to the first epistle to the Corinthians and read a couple verses. Chapter 16, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, just as I directed the church of Galatia, so also you do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should lay aside in store to himself whatever he may have been prospered, that no collections be made when I come." What a contrast to today's situation. The key, I think, to this verse, he's describing the way they should do it. In other words, there's no longer a situation, a communal situation like there was in the beginning of Acts, because if there was, where all people had all things in common, then you wouldn't have a laying aside for the first day of the week. So this is a different situation than it was in the beginning of Acts, like Witness Lee just said. But I think it's critical to see that this word about the collection to the saints is at the very beginning of chapter 16, which is right after a long chapter on resurrection. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 15 is the chapter on resurrection. And in that chapter, Paul, in verse 10, he said that he labored more abundantly than all the other apostles, yet it wasn't him, it was the grace of God laboring within him.
That's right.
So there's a grace laboring. There's a grace that comes out of the Lord's resurrection life living in us that enables us to overcome material possessions and offer them to the Lord.
That's the reason that these believers could have such an abundance of joy in their desire to give, because this grace just works joy. It works enjoyment of Christ into us. And that applies also to our giving.
Good lead-in, Francis, for our last portion today. Let's go to the conclusion of the life study, where we get to a very practical example from Witness Lee of participating in this grace.
Paul says, "Brethren, we make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." What grace? Then verse 2 begins with that. The grace of God is that in much approvedness of affliction. Paul promises this. The Macedonians were in affliction, and that kind of suffering was a test to them, to test them out how much they could be approved by God. That is approvedness. So the Macedonians, they were in affliction, yet they had joy. Not only joy, but the abundance of joy and the depth of poverty. It's so strange. When you are in the depth of poverty, could you have the abundance of joy? And these abundance of joy and the depth of poverty abounded and the riches of liberality. The Macedonians, they were deeply poor, yet they were generous. The Greek sure is a good language. The word for liberality is the same word for simplicity. It's quite meaningful. You know, if you are going to be a generous person, you must be so simple. If you are so complicated, the sins you heard in Judea were in need. Okay, I'd like to give $100. Then right after this, you have a little complicated thought. Maybe they are not so much in need. So probably I don't need to give $100. I better give 80. Then at the lunch table, you talk to your wife. After further talk, you consider even $80 are not so needed. Better 60. And eventually, you just give 40. Yes, you give, but not with generosity. You give with scarcity. The Macedonians were poor, and they were in affliction, yet they gave generously. What was that? That was grace. What is such a grace? That is the very resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit indwells believers. Such a Christ is the grace. This is the grace of God motivating them, even in their deep poverty. Such a grace was moving within them. that they were able to overcome the material possession and to use it for the fulfilling of God's purpose.
Francis, I love this terminology that Witness Lee just said, that grace was moving within them, that they were able to overcome the material possessions. I think this is the same point I was touching right before we went to this portion from 1 Corinthians 15 and 16 there. It makes the matter of giving very practical, and I know personally that I can only give generously and simply, like he talked about, when I experience this kind of motivating grace and enjoying the Lord from within. Isn't this your experience?
I believe that's the only thing the Lord really accepts, because what he's doing is motivating in us by his graciousness to us, by becoming grace to us. He's simplifying us as well as supplying us with an inward joy, even an abounding joy, even in the face of poverty, so that we don't argue with him and we don't bargain with him about what we should do with our material possessions. And this is where the matter of simplicity comes in. And I think his illustration there is quite commonly experienced. When you think there's a certain need, you offer maybe to give so much for that need, but the more you think about it, the more you think, well, I'm in need too. And so you don't let go in a simple way, but you argue your reason and you bargain with the Lord. But when you're motivated by this grace in you, and you've been through these experiences and been really reconciled to God, I think there's no problem. We would learn to give generously and with simplicity.
Well, we've run out of time, Francis, so we're going to have to give the phone number for our listeners to call and get a copy of the printed message. Thank you very much for being with us, Francis. And it's also been good to have you with us. Thank you for listening today. This is Matt Miller. Thank you very much for listening.